Welcome to the Treasure Corner. I'm Dan Hughes. I've been metal detecting since 1973, and I've written for several of the Treasure magazines. I invite you to check out my book after you listen to this program. The great majority of new detector owners today buy their machines for the express purpose of finding coins. Using a metal detector specifically to find coins was first termed coin shooting by treasure hunter Carl von Mueller. Carl spelled coin shooting with a K, but the term quickly evolved into its Americanized spelling. Carl once got angry with an author who wrote a book about coin shooting without giving credit to the man who invented the term. And though Carl is no longer with us, I certainly don't want his ghost to feel slighted, so thank you, Carl. I want to start by talking about cleaning coins, because you need to know this information before you start finding coins. Some newcomers to the hobby get out the brass cleaner and shine up the coins they find. This is fine for common coins that will be spent as pocket change. But if the coin has any numismatic value, don't clean it with anything other than soap and water. Cleaning coins destroys any collectible value. You'll find a lot of common pennies that are horribly discolored, usually almost black. If they're common dates and you're going to spend them, soak them overnight in, I'm not kidding here, Louisiana hot sauce. You can buy a small bottle at your grocery store for under a buck. This stuff is powerful. The pennies will come out orange, but that's better than black if you want to spend them. The typical newbie treasure hunter unpacks his new machine, puts it together, tests it on a coin in the living room, and then heads to the local park to make his fortune. More often than not, he returns home a few hours later, tired, dirty, mosquito-bitten, sore, feeling downright miserable, in fact, with nothing to show for his work but a couple of zinc pennies and a pocket full of pull tabs. The new detector goes into the garage or the attic, and our poor new hobbyist, who has had more than enough, moves on to another hobby. If only he had listened to this show first. Think about this. In virtually every human endeavor, there is a beginner level and a professional level, with a lot of steps in between. Nobody starts out as a pro, and so it is with metal detecting. You have to crawl before you walk, and walk before you run. There are easy ways and difficult ways to learn a new skill. The most difficult way is to throw yourself into a new endeavor without a clue as to what you should be doing. Sounds pretty foolish, but that's the way many people approach metal detecting. They think they can just turn their new machine on and find valuable coins wherever they walk. As I used to tell my radio broadcasting students, if it were that easy, everyone would be doing it. And that should make you happy. Think of it this way. The fact that it is difficult eliminates a lot of your competition. So what should you do before you run to the local park? First, read your instruction manual cover to cover. And not just once, read it a few times. Virtually memorize that thing and follow its directions exactly. The manufacturer of your detector knows more about his machine than you do. Use your detector exactly as the manual recommends for your first few trips. But after you've mastered the machine according to the book, then do some experimenting to find out what works best for you. By the time you've found enough money to pay for a better metal detector, you'll have a good idea of what features you'd like to have in your next machine. Most coins you find with a metal detector are worth no more than their face value, unless you've done your research and are hunting in an area that's full of old coins. Several factors determine the value of a coin. Most important is its rarity. The number of coins minted each year is not a set figure. Some years, for whatever reason, fewer coins were produced, and so they're worth more money. For most of our country's history, our coins were made chiefly in just three cities: Philadelphia, Denver, and San Francisco. Denver put a D mint mark on its coins, San Francisco used an S, and except for the World War II years with nickels, Philadelphia didn't use a mint mark. Generally, coins with an S mint mark are more valuable because San Francisco made fewer coins than did Philadelphia or Denver. There are many exceptions to this general rule, but I always get a jolt of excitement when I turn up an S coin. There are a few other rare mint marks. C, Charlotte, North Carolina. These were gold coins only, minted from 1838 to 1861. CC, Carson City, Nevada, 1870 to 1893. Gold coins with the letter D, minted from 1838 to 1861, came from Dahlonega, Georgia. The mint mark O was used for coins made in New Orleans. Gold and silver coins from 1838 to 1861, and then again from 1879 to 1909. And finally, W, for West Point, New York. Gold, silver, and platinum commemorative and proof coins only, made from 1984 until the present. Condition is another huge factor when it comes to the value of coins. Collectors are very picky when it comes to evaluating the condition of a coin, and there are several different gradations. A coin worth hundreds of dollars in brilliant uncirculated condition may be worth just a few dollars in good condition. In the field of coin collecting, good means not so good. For an example of values, a 1923 S penny is worth $2 in good condition, but that same penny in choice uncirculated condition is worth $435. Unfortunately, most coins you'll find won't be in very good condition. They are stained and sometimes pitted from ground minerals. Pennies, nickels, and clad coins are almost always stained or discolored when they've been in the ground. Silver coins may turn black, or they may stay as pretty as the day they were dropped, depending on the composition of the soil in which they are found. Gold coins don't deteriorate, but few of us will ever find a gold coin. Finally, the number of coins minted is not an absolute guide to their value. Remember the basic law of economics. Value is determined not just by supply, but also by demand. Even if there are very few of an item available, if nobody wants them, they aren't worth very much. Thanks for listening. I'd love to hear your feedback or ideas for future shows. Drop me a note at the Treasure Corner. That's all one word, thetreasurecorner@gmail.com. And check out my book, The Metal Detecting Manual, at treasuremanual.com. Until next time, from the Treasure Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.